I am Linda van Tilburg for BizNews. The F.W. de Klerk Foundation has welcomed the awarding of the Nobel Peace Prize to Nihon Haidankyo, a grassroots movement of atomic bomb survivors. This movement has been honored for using the testimony of the survivors of Hiroshima and Nagasaki to show why nuclear weapons should never be used again. And joining us in the BizNews studio is Christo van den Riede, the Foundation's Executive Director. Well, hi, Christo. Thank you for joining me at BizNews.
Good day, and good day to all of your viewers.
Well, this is an interesting view from the F.W. de Klerk Foundation, who normally comments on events in South Africa, to comment on the Nobel Peace Prize. So, you know, why?
As you know, F.W. de Klerk is also a recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize, together with Nelson Mandela. And from our perspective, he received that prize for the fact that he transitioned South Africa, or he played an instrumental role in transitioning South Africa from an apartheid state to a constitutional democracy. And that brought about freedom to our people, it brought about peace to our people, and also brought about progress and prosperity. So it was indeed a very, very important step that he took when he made that announcement on the 2nd of February 1990. But he went further. He then decided to disarm South Africa to make sure that we destroy our nuclear arsenal of nuclear weapons. And I think we are the first country in the world that took that step. And that shows the commitment he had towards ensuring peace, not only in South Africa, but also on the African continent and also throughout the world. And he was then, in later years, very much involved in certain peace initiatives. I can recall him and Mandela. They were involved also in peace talks between the then Prime Minister of Israel and the leader of the Palestinian people. Unfortunately, today we have a completely different world. And it's so sad because we had men of stature, such as the late President Clark, the late President Nelson Mandela, Gorbachev, and others, who put their own interests aside, and they focus on what is in the interest of the people, what is in the interest of the world. And that is what we need to see more of during this time of heightened conflict, especially in the Middle East and between Russia and Ukraine and in other parts of the world.
Well, so if you look at the stories of these atomic bomb survivors, you know, it's such a critical narrative. What makes their stories so compelling?
Remember, when those bombs were dropped in August 1945, the two bombs on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, according to the statistics that I have available, approximately 120,000 people died. It left terrible scars. It caused havoc in those two cities. But more so, the surviving people had to carry those diseases and illnesses caused by the exposure to nuclear. They have to carry that for the rest of their lives. So it's a significant movement that started, I think, around about 1965. Where the Japanese then, or 1956, sorry, where the Japanese people decided to establish what they call the Japan Confederation of HNA and H-bomb sufferers. And the people that survived, approximately 650,000, they are known as the Hibakusha. So this movement is the most respected, widely recognized and widely known movement, and they have two aims. That is to promote and fight for the social and economic rights of the Hibakusha, in other words, the survivors of this terrible, terrible ordeal. But more so, they have a very significant story to tell, And that's why they are the recipients of the Nobel Peace Prize, for the fact that they want to see that that countries that have large stockpiles of weaponry, that they do away with it, that such a terrible ordeal should never happen again, and that we should protect the world against the disaster or the destructive nature and the absolute disastrous nature of nuclear weapons. Because really, let's now think about it. It's not necessary to have it. What are we doing with nuclear weapons? Why do we test nuclear weapons? We're not destroying, or we're not only putting fear into people's hearts. Ordinary people at the behest, why at the behest of narcissistic politicians, egotistical politicians, but we also destroy the environment. If you think what the impact of those bombs are on deep under the sea, in the desert, deep underground, where it's being tested. So there's no logic behind this. Yes, there are certain positives. Nuclear energy, nuclear tools are being used in medicine. If, as long as it is being used to advance the cause of humankind, as long as it is used to bring nations together to create a better world, there's certainly nothing wrong with it. But as long as it is being used to threaten each other and to, at the end of the day, use it on another country, you can imagine if the four or five big countries that have stockpiles, the USA, France, Russia, China, Iran, if those countries decide tomorrow we're going to start using our nuclear weapons on each other, then we might as well, switch off the light of Mother Earth, close the curtain, and all at the end of the day, move to another planet, because we will destroy this entire planet just to satisfy our personal political egos. That's the sad, sad part of this.
Well, as you mentioned, with the specter of nuclear conflict looming due to the current geopolitical tensions, so what proactive measures can be taken to steer the world away from such a devastating path, do you think?
Remember, I'm very honest when I say, if you look at the current conflicts in the world, then those conflicts are really not necessary. For me, it's beyond my grasp to understand why Russia has decided one morning to enter Ukraine and start a war there. What was the reason for that? Now, yes, there might be geopolitical reasons, but it was not necessary. If you look at other parts of the world where conflicts reign, it can all be traced back to people that are power hungry, people that seek to destroy each other, people who don't care about each other, people that want to promote their narrow-minded ideologies at the expense of others. Why is that necessary? It is really beyond anyone's understanding. The important thing is that we live in a world that is becoming more and more unsafe. It's a world that also is impacted by climate change. It's a world that is impacted by hunger, underdevelopment. We've seen massive migration from certain parts of the world to other parts of the world. If you now, ask yourself, can't one rather use all the energy and all the talent that we invest in the making of nuclear bombs? Can't we spend that money to create a better future in those countries where conflict reigns, where there's poverty, where there's hunger. That's the kind of world that we all should yearn for. And I think it's important that world leaders that yearn for peace shouldn't pushyfoot around the streets. I would like my president Ramaphosa to stand up and say enough is enough and to be consistent in his message of peace. You cannot hold the Israelis or responsible for what's happening in the Middle East, but at the same time, you say nothing about the atrocities of Putin, for example. You say nothing about the atrocities of Hamas. All of these entities are out to destroy instead of coming and sitting around the table like President Mandela had done, like President de Klerk had done, to say, how do we create a better South Africa? And we have seen the mess these past 30 years, how people, when they deviate from the Constitution, from the Bill of Rights, the net effect of that or the end result of that is a country beset with all kinds of socioeconomic ills, such as corruption, such as conflict, such as crime, etc. We do have the blueprint. That is the kind of blueprint that we have shared with the rest of the world. And one really yearns for a time when we had world leaders with backbone, world leaders that put the world's interests first as opposed to their narrow ideological and egotistical aspirations. So we need, first and foremost, we need that non-proliferation treaty to be respected, to be implemented, to be rolled out. We need a disarmament on a very, very large scale. We need to get a commitment from political leaders and from countries that are always at loggerheads with each other to say, let us now work towards peace, towards the improvement of the world, because at the rate that we are going, we're going to have nothing left within the next 100 years. If we have a full-scale nuclear war, it will be even less than 10 years. So it's important that we should have a long-term vision for Mother Earth, for our people, and we need to come together as a collective, as a new world order that puts the interests of all people first. You have some people that dream about a colony on Mars. Why do you want to go to Mars when you have Mother Earth? And if we develop all of our people, we will be able to reduce poverty. We will be able to reduce uncontrolled birth rates. We will be able to improve the quality of life of all people and at the same time take care of our environment. Because for me, the environment is critical. I live along the beach and I see how many seals lie dead on the beach. I see how many sea life lie dead, penguins, also big whales and stuff like that. And it tells me there's something wrong. I don't want to even mention the way we pollute our river systems, the way we pollute the sky, the way we pollute, the ground with all kinds of oil spills and irresponsible mining, etc. So somehow we need a new leadership that can say enough is enough, draw the line in the sand and say, but this is the direction that we need to go into and stop trying to seek favor with people that we all know that do not have or do not really care about anyone else but themselves.
So, Christy, you retired from Agri South Africa. Is this what retirement looks like? Are you taking up other issues? Is that what you're doing in your retirement?
Indeed. I'm trying to stay away from party politics. And that's why I'm involved with the foundation. We also work very closely with other foundations, the Mbeki Foundation, the Nelson Mandela Foundation, Alan Sussman Foundation, the Albert Luthuli Foundation, the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation. Because I believe that the foundations and the Bishop Tutu Foundation, that these foundations have a moral voice, have a moral authority, and we must use the stature that we have to influence policy making, to influence and help shape a better world for all of our people. Because, you know, I don't have to yearn or lean towards the dictates of a party political leader or a cabinet minister, etc. We are completely independent. And yes, we are. We work towards a better future for all of our people.
Christine van der Reede, thank you so much for speaking to us.
It's indeed an honor and a pleasure.